This is Believe in Buckeyes. This show is brought to you by Bet Online. Chimp, you know what that is.
So Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today and use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
And if you have any issues with gambling, always feel free to reach out to 1-800-GAMBLER. They're 24/7 to help you out on anything you may need in that category. But this is Believe in Buckeyes. I'm Brian Browning with All-American quarterback Chindi Chekwa. How you doing, man? What's going on?
Doing good, man. Spring is officially here. I know that because I woke up with two black eyes. Allergies are beating me up, so I'm gonna have to figure something out.
Yeah, man, you got to, I don't know, was it Claritin? Give us a Claritin, man. I think
Claritin. Claritin is not doing it. I got the Flonase, you know, I'm snorting allergy medicine at this point. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, man, good luck with that. Good luck with that. I just thank God I do not have those issues. But, yeah, it's off season here around Buckeye. So, we're just coming up with content. We're ranking things. Last week, if you caught our show, we discussed the teams of tiers, who's tier one through tier four. And this week, we wanted to discuss defense, man. You know, defense, you know, what the saying is, Chim, right?
Defense wins championship.
That's right.
I don't know how accurate that is, but there's some truth to it.
There's some truth to it, right? Yeah, so we want to kind of take a look at maybe the top five. We're not going to go through all those teams because we know some teams that's kind of lacking on defense in the Big Ten. But we want to kind of look at the big dogs with the teams that we feel are the best at playing defense in the conference was. We decided to come up with a top five list. Our list wasn't the same, man. What's going on, man? You're not seeing things the way I see them. And I don't like that, but we're gonna discuss it. Yep. I guess you want to say your bad list first. Who you got at number five?
Let's start number five. My number five team in the Big Ten in terms of defense, and this is a team that I always talk about in terms of their inability to get over the hump, take the next step. My number five team is Penn State. I got Penn State as number five on defense. Penn State, who had a really good defense last year, really good defense. I don't know, for y'all who watched the draft, they had two top high-level defensive pass rushers who got drafted. Those guys were disruptive. Penn State typically has a pretty good defense. That is a good reason why they always have a solid team. They did lose their defensive coordinator. They took a head coaching job. I don't remember exactly where. Yeah. Maybe Duke or something. I'm not sure where.
I forgot. But
Manny Diaz. But he was a really good coordinator, really good at, you know, scheming up blitzes, getting pressure on the offense in different ways. And that's kind of Penn State's calling card, man. They typically have two speed rushers on the outside, and they get after you. And, you know, top five defense in the Big Ten is good. They're going to be a really good defense. I think one, new defensive coordinator. I think that's going to potentially impact them. And they have to replace those pass rushes. They always do, right? It's Penn State. They always do. Since we played against Penn State, they always have pass rushers, right? Always have speed guys on the outside. Always have solid defensive backs. But they got to replace those guys. And I think I have them five, not so much because of what they need or what they don't have. I think it's more of what the other four teams, I think, do have. Who's your five?
At five, I put Oregon there, man. I put Oregon there. All right. Now, Oregon to me is fairly similar to a Penn State, right? They're gonna have a couple guys on the edge that could get after the passer. Defensively, they're gonna harp on turnovers, right? They're gonna try to turn you over with different type of pressure and things of that nature. But they're new to the conference, right? I mean, the Pac-12 has not been necessarily known for great defenses over the years, so I know some of the could be a little inflated. And we know when it kind of got to the nitty-gritty things, even last year when they played a top-tier quarterback and Penix, they didn't really hold up in that way. So I'll say Oregon at five, and really just because you know, they're new to the conference, and I don't trust
it. Like, it's just a Pac-12 bias.
Hey, that bias is going to be there, right, until the season starts and we actually play some football. There's going to be some Pac-12 bias coming from me, especially when you're talking about ranking teams, how they look to other teams in the conference.
The conference is weird because the conference bias is real. What's funny to me is teams like Missouri or teams in the SEC that weren't SEC teams not too long ago, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, when they have good years, they're like another SEC team. And it's like, I mean, they're SEC, but they could easily be a Big 12 team, right?
Right.
So three years down the line, Oregon isn't going to be, that Pac-12 bias is going to be gone. Oregon's going to be, you think they start to play or people start to view them as this Big Ten team. Oregon.
They're going five. Yeah. So Oregon, obviously, I believe they had a strong off season on their defense, right? I think you. What did you have Oregon at listed out on your list?
So I got Oregon. So this is my number four. I got Oregon at number four, and I think those two are kind of interchangeable. I also do think they are similar in terms of their approach to defense. So you always know they're going to have some speed rushes. They're going to hit you with different blitzes. Oregon, I guess I put Oregon over Penn State because, you see, while Penn State lost a couple defensive ends, and they likely have guys to replace those guys, they lost two in the same year, right? Oregon, you know, a lot of the players that they lost or the holes that they had, they filled through the transfer portal. So Oregon, to me, maybe I don't know how they do the transfer portal rankings, or maybe Colorado's number one. I'm not sure who's number one in terms of transfer portal rankings. But to me, the true number one team for the transfer portal is Oregon this year. Because to me, when it comes to transfer portal, it's about filling the holes that you have on your team and filling them with high-level players. I think Oregon has done that better than maybe every other school outside of maybe Ohio State. And, you know, they got a really good corner from Washington, who, mm-hmm. honestly, I thought, you know, when he entered the transfer portal, he was going to follow his coach down to Alabama, but he ended up going to Oregon. They got a couple of defensive linemen. Just recently, they got the guy from Michigan State, who's a good player. They got a guy from Houston, I think, early on in the transfer portal, who's pretty good. And they got some other pieces. They got a cornerback out of Utah State, I believe. They got a cornerback. They got a safety, I believe, out of Alabama. So they're filling holes. And one thing about the defense, one, your starters need to be good. And in this college football era, a lot of passes, a potentially longer season, your depth has to be pretty good. So I think Oregon, from top to bottom, to me, edges out Penn State, at least, you know, just looking at it based on paper, based on what they have, they've done in the offseason.
Right. So Oregon brings in Jabbar Muhammad out of Washington, as you stated. Then they got the Michigan State transfer, the big D tackle, and Jamari Caldwell, who, I mean, be honest, both of those guys have a lot of potential to be, you know, early round draft pick. So, yeah, Oregon would look to be good on defense. So on my list, like I said, I had them at five. I had Penn State at four just because, once again, I know them a little better. I know they're going to have some guys off the edge. They're going to be disruptive. They're going to blitz. They're going to shake things up of that nature and create turnovers as well. So, and that three spot for myself, I put Michigan right there. Put Michigan right there. Michigan, and obviously, as we know, had a really good year defensively last year. They didn't lose a ton of guys. They got defensive backs. They got a top-end corner. They're really stout in the middle, right? They got some deep tackles that can really plug up the run and make things difficult for you to kind of get movement in that section. So I expect the same, right? I mean, obviously, a lot of turnover on that defensive staff. The whole staff at Michigan. But they got a lot of guys back, so I imagine that they'll be able to kind of hold ship and kind of, you know, still be a solid unit when it comes to defense in the Big Ten. Who did you have at that number three spot?
Yeah, number three, I got Iowa. So
at three?
At three, I got Iowa.
Come on, man.
One thing to note is, one, Oregon's the only incoming Pac-12 team that even cracks the top five in Big Ten defense.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. I would say Oregon and Penn State, I expect to be close to or within that top 10 defense in the nation. right. So pretty much we're saying, I'm saying like all of the top five defenses in the Big Ten are going to be top 10 defense, which is, you know, that's, to me, that's, that means you got a conference of good defense being played. Iowa, I have three. We know how good Iowa defenses have been.
How really good.
Yeah. They've been really good. I mean, it's literally, Iowa is only showing up to play defense. Defense and special teams, that's all they showed up for. They, you know, they've given the offense maybe 3 years off and have only focused on defense. And I expect them to show up on defense again. Michigan being three, it's hard for me to put Michigan at three after they really just had the best defense. It's arguable. You could say Iowa had as good of a defense.
You gotta take in the fact that half the year they probably had, you know, a special section there for knowing what the offense was going to do. You got to count that. But, you know, whatever. You know, all right, go ahead.
I'll give you that. So Michigan, they had their manifesto of what the offenses are going to do. I don't know that they can't recreate that. You know what I'm saying? With the helmets, I don't know if they might be able to tap a line or something and get the play calls as they come in. I can't underestimate Michigan. Whatever they do, whatever they have done, it's worked. Cheating and all. Whatever they have done, is worked. So I give Iowa that number three spot. But that's not downplaying what Iowa has been able to do. I think they're going to be another great defense. The other thing about Iowa is their bad offense hurts their defensive rankings. Like,
they get it done.
The inability to move the ball up the field, the fact that your defense has to play more snaps than absolutely necessary. And it's still impressive that they still perform at such a high level. But, you know, they're number three, and I got Michigan a little bit higher.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I'm going to skip to my number one. I got Iowa number one, man. Every week, Iowa goes out there knowing that it's a pretty good chance that they give up a touchdown that they're not going to win this game. And they still go out there. That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure for that defense. And now somehow they go out there and they perform every week. Here goes a stat for you. Since 2020, in the nation, not just the Big Ten, nationally, the only defense that has been better scoring and efficiency has been Georgia. And we know how fantastic Georgia's defense has been over the last handful of years, all the first-round draft picks. I think the Eagles are drafting every Georgia player right into the NFL, and it's a lot of guys that's being spread across, you know, the next level. And Iowa's right there with them. And now, obviously, they're they don't have a lot to show for it, right? They don't have many Big Ten titles or playoff appearances and things of that nature because of the offense. But if it was up to that defense, like, they're right there. And they know, like I say, they got to buckle it in. They got to do everything right and keep these guys in front of them, no big plays, all those things. And they figure out a way to get it done week after week after week. So, yeah, number one defense in the conference, for sure.
So, I imagine Iowa starts their week and they're getting prepared for a team. Just preparing for defense. I just imagine that their offensive coordinator, their quarterback, everybody they're all together in the team room. They're looking at other offense, the offense that they're playing, and they're scheming them up collectively. And they just get back, they get to the offensive side, like maybe on a Friday or something. Let's figure out what we're going to do on offense. Because it almost doesn't even make sense how good their defense has been. I know I put them three, but, you know, I could be convinced otherwise, given the type of pressure they've been on. The fact that they have to generate points on defense in order to compete in the game. So kudos to their defense. I'm still going to put them three because, you know, the offense doesn't help them out, but, you know, that's part of it. You got to deal
with it. That's part of it. I got you. Who you got at the two spot?
So at the two spot, I got Michigan. For all the reasons I just mentioned, I think they had some guys go in the draft, but they're bringing back a lot of good, talented players. Some of the guys that are going to step into roles, they brought a couple guys in the transfer portal. They have young guys who have been waiting their turn and are going to be able to provide the level of depth necessary. And they just play good defense, man. I mean, if you want to watch good defense. I know in college football, we love to see guys catch passes and score touchdowns. It's exciting to watch. But if you watch a game, if you want to see good defense, you watch Iowa, Michigan. You watch Michigan, Ohio State. You watch Michigan, Penn State. But Michigan, you know, as much as I hate them, their defense is solid. They play defense really connected. They don't make a lot of mistakes. And they have to lean on their defense. I mean, we talked about Iowa not showing up on offense. I don't anticipate Michigan being that inept on offense. But I do anticipate that their approach to winning, no different than the last couple years, is that they lean on the defense and they'll lean on the run game. And if you want to play tough football and run the ball, then that means you got to put high emphasis on punt. You got to put high emphasis on defense and being physical on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, I mean, you saw it in the if you watched some of the spring game, they're going live, they're tackling, they're hitting. They're going to be tough on defense. I expect them to be a top five defense again this upcoming season.
I got you. And in the two spot, obviously, your number one is Ohio State. I have Ohio State at number two. Just due to Iowa, the pressure that they got performing. But we know Ohio State, right? This defense has brought in Caleb Downs. We have a ton of guys returning. Lathan Ransom, Brown, D tackles, the whole defensive line, essentially. I think we were replacing linebackers, right? And we got Cody Simon stepping in with a ton of experience. And then we have C.J. Hicks and Sonny Styles rotating in at linebacker as well. Obviously, Styles, a ton of experience, had a whole season under his belt. And C.J. Hicks just being the great talent that he is. So we know our defense will be great. I think I guess at this point, what would you like to see more out of our defense? Because we know we got the guys, right? We know we got the personnel. Yeah. Going into this next year, what would you like to see a little bit different from our defense? If they perform from last year, I think, you know, we'll check that box. That's fantastic. But if you just want to be nitpicked, what would you ask for them to, I guess, do a little bit more of?
Yeah, I think taking a little bit of a page out of what we talked about, Oregon, Penn State, even Iowa, just getting more pressure on the quarterback. I think creating some of those turnovers, you know, we saw more turnovers this past season, but creating some of that disruption and hitting the quarterback more. You know, I feel like a couple years ago, Jim Knowles was a little bit, probably too aggressive and pulled back this season. And the pullback was good, right? We were a good defense, sound defense. Didn't give up the explosive plays. And if you don't give up the explosive plays, you're not beating Ohio State. That's just the reality. However, there's some opportunity to generate some big-time plays, disruptive plays on defense. And I think the guys in this room, you talked about Caleb Downs. One thing about Caleb Downs that everyone has communicated is that he's a very smart player. He comes from a football household. He has uncles and family members who play in the NFL. He understands the game very well. And when you have players like that, that's where you can take chances, right? That's where you can blitz, you can do things because the defense is better connected. And I think not just Caleb, I just think we have a veteran defense, guys who understand what they're doing, guys like Jordan Hancock, who's a guy who could get everybody lined up. I know we got some young linebackers, but across that defense, and really across the team, we got good leadership. I think it's time for them to be able to put a little bit more pressure out there, run a little bit more blitzes. And that's what I'm hoping for, because we got guys who can cover. Hmm. And we got some young linebackers who could be disruptive. So yeah. That's what I'm excited for. And that's why I got Ohio State number one, because one, I'm biased, right? Two, I see the potential with that combination of one, the ability, the guys who are not just talented, but now they've been together, they play together for long enough. And similar to what Michigan was able to do last year, I think that cohesiveness and that maturity is going to add another level to this defense. And, man, I'm excited to watch these guys play, man. This is, for me, I like watching college football, but I love it when the defense can make plays. And I think this defense is built to be disruptive this next year. So I'm excited about them. So that's Ohio State. And I want the record to show that you had Iowa as your number one defense going into 2024. Yeah, Iowa as your number one defense. And I chose Ohio State. Now I'm gonna be. I'm gonna admit that I'm a little bit. You know, I went with bias a little bit. However, you know, when we run the tape back,
yeah,
I want the record.
When we run the tape back, we're gonna talk about all the flattering things you just said about Michigan. That's what we're gonna be focusing on. But yeah, no. But obviously, I would say regarding improvement, like you, like we need, we can. We got a great opportunity to pick it up turnover wise, and also would just like to say, like, you know, the blitz is good, blitz is fine, but let's get our DNs and our D linemen back on the edge on those known passing situations. I know last year you could tell it was an emphasis. Beat the offensive lineman, and then we'll make a play off of that. And it got to the point where it was like, what is going on? Like, why are we not getting this projection out of JT and Jack? Like, it seems like they're, if they do get to the quarterback, it's really slow. It's like they were just on the edge. Like, they were just kind of playing through offensive tackles and guards and trying to get pressure by collapsing the pocket instead of just getting on the edge and winning. As we've seen previous year, definitely out of JT. So I want to see, you know, known passing situations. It's third and long. We don't stop the run on first and second. We know they should be passing. Let's get back on the edge. We got the vets got now. Obviously, we have very talented guys in the middle of the defense as well. So I would like to say just get some more on the edge, be disruptive in that fashion, be the guy with a quick move, and go ahead and get some sacks in there. And not be so much playing through the, and I get it. Like, we had to learn how to stop the run. Like, just really gearing up, getting ready for the Michigan game. I get it. I understand. Like you said 2 years ago, what happened there? Gabbling on defense, giving up big plays. This year, being more shoring that up. But yes, like, you know, we got the guys now. So let's get them on the edge and let them guys tear it up for sure. But that's our ranking. I think, I like my ranking, man. I gotta get Iowa's props, man. They going out there figuring out how to get it done week after week, man, in those situations. So, yeah, but that's our process. Yeah, so we want to talk a little bit about Chip, man. I mean, honestly, I don't know if it went mainstream news. It was basically some former guys. It seemed like they was kind of getting their podcast off, right? I never seen the show before until this clip. But it's interesting because it's Chip, right? And we're just kind of keeping an eye on it, right? Keeping an eye on the Chip Kelly hire. Obviously, I questioned it a little bit when it first happened, right? And I got a little bit more research, right? I didn't know what type of offense he was running. It was a real finesse ball. And it's not no more. I think I backpedaled on that a little bit, right? Seeing what he did at UCLA. But now, these questions kind of was more of a, I guess, a character thing, right? I mean, if you're looking at the conversation that we saw, right? So the outline, I'm going to get your thoughts on it. In this outline, what happened? So it's a podcast with LeSean McCoy and Deshaun Jackson. We know they're two former Eagles players, right? And was there doing some times. And they're on their show, and they're talking about basically how much they dislike Chip Kelly and how bad he had the locker room, the situation was there. And they brought up Michael Vick, and they said Michael Vick was crying, trying to deal with, had all these crying episodes dealing with Chip Kelly. He said he cried more dealing with Chip Kelly and football than he did through the whole situation with him and the dogs, which led to him going to jail. They called Jason Peters on the phone, like, hey, what you think of Chip Kelly? And to be honest, it wasn't very nice things.
Right.
So I guess what's your thoughts on that, as in where we are at today with the Chip Kelly that we have here at Ohio State? What's your thoughts on the Chip? I mean, honestly, what's your thoughts?
You kind of talked about, you alluded to when we first, I don't know if it was after Chip Kelly was already hired or the rumors had started, but you kind of talked about how former players don't really like Chip Kelly, like the former players in the NFL don't like Chip. And I kind of brushed it off. But, you know, I think it's one of those things that we kind of talked about. I think Chip as a head coach, especially as a head coach of an NFL team, I think the need to be able to control, because when you're successful doing something a certain way for a long time, put a system in, if everybody does their job and the system is successful, I do it year one and we're successful. And then I have these guys that seem to be more individuals and not so much team. Mm-hmm. The challenge with that is in the NFL, like, you know, it's not college, right? These are grown men who make a lot of money for what they do. And it's like there's this, you have to maintain this combination of structure, but you got to allow people to be who they are in a certain sense, because that's where you get the most out of them. And at some point, yeah, you have this system. Well, that system in the NFL only takes you so far, right? The system works, but these guys got to be great within it. Like, you got to allow these guys to max. And I think sometimes coaches believe that the system is so much more important than getting the most out of players, and you try to fit the guys into it. And if they don't work, get those guys out. At one point, Chip Kelly had like a lot of Oregon players on the team. Like all the guys I played against in college, who, you know, this I'm not going to talk about them, but all the guys I played against in college, they seem to end up on the Eagles. So the guys at Oregon ended up on the Eagles. I'm like, man, you got rid of DeSean Jackson for this guy, right? You let these players go, and this is what you have. And I think that's a lesson learned, man. Like, to me, you got to allow people. I know Chip isn't a young person, like he's an older person, but it was a new situation for him. Mm-hmm. You got to allow people to go through their situation. And to me, Chip Kelly is not the head coach.
Yeah,
this is not the NFL. he is an offensive coordinator. He is not dealing with the stresses of what he had to deal with when he was a head coach. He's an offensive coordinator, and his focus is going to be putting in that system and allowing those players to operate that system. And oh, by the way, that system isn't entirely his system either. It is Ryan Day's as well. So, you know, I feel good about him as in this stage. I also feel good about him learning those lessons. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think the mention it was mentioned of. I don't think he knows how to deal with black guys or talk to.
Yeah, I think that was like I heard that too. Yeah. Like a McCoy thing or something. He was kind of going around. But yeah, I mean, people grow. I mean, like I'm pulling up his coaching career. Right, that was his first time in the NFL. Right, first time in the NFL. He's the head coach, so he doesn't have a ton of experience, you know, just being in those locker rooms and kind of understanding the difference of college to the NFL. It's a tad bit different, right? Like, especially like the world now with NIL, maybe even still kind of similar to what the NFL is. And back then, obviously, that wasn't the case. So he's still growing, right? I mean, obviously, right now, all we hear is very positive things from Chip, because I feel like most people didn't say it, but then in the back of their head, like, you know, people have heard things about Chip not always being the best fit when it comes to his players, especially on that professional level, how things win in the NFL. But here at Ohio State, where he's back in that position role, he's really super comfortable and happy at the scene. He seems to be fantastic. So we got to take that for what it is, like the Chip Kelly we have today, and I guess not so much worry about the Chip Kelly of the past. Yeah, so
100%.
Yeah, man. So, Chip, man, you didn't ask me about my hat, man. I got a hat on, man.
It's a nice hat, man.
Thank you, man. Too. Yeah, yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I just kind of rolled out of bed like this, man. You know. But no, I got my Melon hat on, man, and I wanted to kind of bring it up. I sweat a lot. I'm a head sweater, if that makes any sense. So if I get hot, first thing sweating me is my head, and that goes directly to your hat. So a lot of times I'm in public, you won't catch me in a hat, but with this Melon hat on, I could wear this in public because the sweat does pretty good in it, man. And if it gets bad, I can throw it in the washing machine. It'll come right back out just as new. These hats usually last about 5 years, but I kind of got it flipped up a little funky here because I wanted to show this. Like, this is the attention to detail. How many times you got to kind of readjust your hat? How often do you got to grip for it, Jim? Right? Like, yeah, you got a little rubber grip here for it to kind of make sure you kind of get exactly where you like it at.
Shout out to Melon, man.
Sure. Yeah, they definitely paid attention to the detail. But yeah, but that's our show today. We'd like to end this show as always with a nice OH. Go Bucks, and we catch you guys soon.
Go Bucks, and go Hawkeyes. Nah, go Bucks.